Picture a clear Saturday morning. Not a cloud in it, you're straight and level. Cruising along fat and happy, and out of the corner of your eye there's a speck. It's not moving on your windscreen, it's just sitting there getting a little bigger, and your stomach drops, because you know what a target that doesn't move across your window means. Now, who's supposed to turn? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. And today, we are going to answer that question, because it's one of the most important ones in all of aviation, and it lives in a regulation that almost every pilot has read exactly once for a written test and never really thought about again. We're talking about Federal Aviation Regulation 91.113, the right-of-way rules who yields to whom and when. Let's walk through this together, because I promise you the rule is simpler and smarter than you remember. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private, pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, and they'd make a fine gift for the student pilot in your life who just needs a little proof that they're actually doing this thing. AviationSoul.com. All right, right of way. Here's the first thing I wish someone had told me when I was training. The right-of-way rules are not about who's allowed to hit whom. Nobody ever wins in midair. There's no board of inquiry where they hand one pilot a ribbon because technically the other guy should have yielded. So let's get the frame right from the start. The whole point of 91.113 is to make two airplanes behave predictably around each other. If you know what I'm going to do, and I know what you're going to do, we don't hit, that's it. The rule exists so that when we can't talk to each other, and often we can't, we still move the same way. Predictability is the safety feature. And that's why the very first thing the regulation says has nothing to do with who turns. Paragraph B, vigilance. It says that regardless of who has the right of way, each pilot must maintain vigilance so as to see and avoid other aircraft. Read that again in your head. Regardless of who has the right of way. So even when the rule says the other airplane has to yield to you, you are still on the hook to see him and avoid him. The right-of-way is not a force field. If you sit there fat and happy thinking, well, he's supposed to move, and you both fly into the same cubic foot of Saturday morning, you were both wrong. The one who had the right-of-way is just as dead as the one who didn't. That's the foundation. See and avoid comes first, always. Everything else we're about to talk about is what you do once you've seen him. Okay, now the mechanics. And I'm going to give you the four situations you'll actually run into in plain English. Situation 1, you're converging. Two airplanes coming together at an angle, not head-on, not one chasing the other. Just two paths crossing, like two cars coming up on the same intersection from different roads. The rule here is the one everybody sort of half remembers. The aircraft to the other's right has the right of way. Let me say that in a way that sticks. If the traffic is off to your right, he wins, he keeps going, and you give way. Here's the way I teach it, and it works. Think about the traffic that's coming from your right, the same way you'd think about it in a car at a four-way. The guy on the right goes first. If somebody is off your right side and converging, he's got it, and your job is to yield. You slow, you descend, you turn behind him. Whatever you do not cross in front. And that last part is the piece students forget. The regulation says the pilot who has to give way must not pass over, under, or ahead of the other aircraft unless well clear. Ahead is the killer word there. Do not try to beat him across the intersection. Turn behind, cede the space, let him go, and slide in behind his tail where you can see him the whole time. Now, that basic rule, traffic on your right has it, works when the two airplanes are the same type. But 91.113 has a beautiful bit of common sense built into it for when they're not, and I love this part because it tells you something about how the people who wrote this rule actually thought about flying. The rule stacks the deck in favor of whoever has the least ability to get out of the way. Think about it. A hot air balloon can't do much of anything. It goes where the wind goes. So a balloon has the right of way over just about everybody. Next up, a glider. No engine. Energy is precious. Every turn costs altitude the pilot may not be able to spare. So a glider yields to a balloon but has the right of way over powered aircraft, then an airship. And then, at the bottom of the food chain, us. The airplanes and the helicopters, the engine-driven aircraft, because we've got a throttle and we can climb, descend, speed up, slow down, and generally maneuver our way out of trouble. So the hierarchy runs from the least maneuverable at the top to the most maneuverable at the bottom. Balloon, glider, airship, then the powered folks, the airplane. The one with the most options is expected to be the one who moves. That's fair. That's the rule rewarding the pilot who has the most tools with the most responsibility. There are two more that sit at the very top. An aircraft in distress has the right of way over all other traffic. Somebody declares an emergency. Somebody's got a rough-running engine and needs the runway right now. Everybody else gets out of the way. Full stop. And there's a special provision for aircraft towing or refueling other aircraft. Because you can't exactly ask a glider tow plane or an air-to-air tanker to snap into a hard brake. They've got the right of way over the ordinary engine-driven crowd too, but for most of us most days in a Cessna or a Piper or a Cirrus, the rule that matters is the simple one. Traffic on your right has the right of way, and you give way behind him. Situation 2, head-on. This is the scary one, and it's also the one with the cleanest answer in the whole regulation. You and another airplane are approaching each other just about nose-to-nose or close to it. Closure rate in two little trainers might be 200 knots in faster airplanes, a lot more. You do not have time to think this one through from scratch. You need it to be a reflex. When you're approaching head-on, or nearly so, each of you alters course to the right. Both of you, you go right, he goes right, and you pass each other left side to left side like two cars on a road. Nobody has the right of way in a head-on. It's the one case where the rule doesn't pick a winner because there's no time to figure out who wins. You both just break right and the geometry takes care of itself. Burn that in, traffic head-on. Turn right, never left. If you turn left and he does the right thing and turns right, you've just steered into each other, always right. Situation 3, overtaking. This one is the opposite of what a lot of new pilots assume. Say you're the faster airplane and you're coming up on somebody from behind. Maybe you're in a bonanza running down a cub that's puttering along ahead of you. Who has the right of way? The airplane being overtaken, the slower one in front, he has the right of way, and he gets to just keep doing what he's doing. Why? Because he probably can't even see you. You're coming from his blind spot. Back behind him where the fuselage and the seat and his own head block the view. He has no idea you're there, so the rule says the burden is entirely on you. The overtaking airplane to alter course to the right and pass him well clear. Same direction as head-on, notice, to the right. When in doubt in this airplane, the answer to which way do I turn is very often to the right, and that's not an accident. The regulation leans right on purpose so that everybody's instinct pulls the same way. So you're overtaking, you move right, you go around him, and you stay well clear. You do not cut across his nose to get where you're going. You give him room. Situation 4, and this is the one that'll come up on every single flight you ever make, because every flight ends with it. Landing. An aircraft on final approach to land, or actually landing, has the right of way over aircraft in flight or operating on the surface. So if you're on final and somebody's sitting on the taxiway wanting to pull out, or somebody's maneuvering in the pattern, you on final have it. The airplane committed to the landing wins, because that's the airplane with the fewest options. He's low, he's slow, he's configured, he may not have the energy to go do something else. But here's the wrinkle inside the landing rule, and this is where I see pilots get themselves in trouble, and where examiners are watching closely. What happens when two airplanes are both on approach to land at the same time? The lower aircraft has the right of way. The one closest to the runway, closest to the ground, gets it. And I can already hear the wheels turning, because that sounds like an invitation to just dive for the numbers and steal the landing. So, the regulation slams that door in the very same sentence. It says the pilot of the lower aircraft shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of another aircraft that is on final approach or to overtake that aircraft. Read that carefully, because it's doing two jobs. The lower airplane has the right of way, yes, but you are expressly forbidden from getting low on purpose to grab it. You can't dive underneath the guy on a nice stabilized final and then claim, well, I was lower, it's mine. That's exactly the maneuver the rule was written to prevent. Being lower gives you the right of way. Making yourself lower to jump the line is against the reg, and it's the kind of aggressive me-first flying that fills up accident reports. Now let me pull this out of the regulation and put it in the cockpit, because that's where it lives. Here's a real scenario. You're inbound to a nice, quiet, non-towered field on a gorgeous afternoon. You make your calls, 10 miles out, entering the downwind, and somebody else is doing the same from the other side of the field. You're both aiming for the same runway. This is where all four of those rules can show up in about 90 seconds, and where see and avoid does the heavy lifting, because there's no tower to sort you out. You're on the downwind, he calls a straight-in final. Now think, he's on final approach. Under the landing rule, an aircraft on final has the right of way. So even though a lot of us don't love straight-ins at a busy non-towered field, and there's a whole separate conversation about whether he should be doing that, The regulation gives him the right of way once he's on that final. Your move is to extend your downwind, slot in behind him, and let him land, not to turn base and try to beat him. You yield and you tell him on the radio what you're doing so it's predictable, or another one. You're motoring along on a cross country, and there's traffic converging from your 2 o'clock off to your right, same altitude. Rule says traffic on your right has it. You don't need to key the mic and negotiate, you just ease it down a couple hundred feet or turn a few degrees and pass behind him, and you keep him in sight the whole time, predictable, undramatic, exactly what the rule wants from you. And the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, the book your examiner is grading you out of, expects you to know this cold. Right of way isn't some trivia item. It shows up in the risk management and the collision avoidance pieces of the standard. The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate out loud and in the airplane that you're clearing your turns, that you're scanning, and that when you spot traffic, you know instantly who's expected to move. If a target pops up off your right on the check ride and you just bore straight ahead, that's not a paperwork problem. That's a conversation about whether you're safe to fly around other people. So, let me leave you with the way I keep all of this straight, because you don't want to be flipping through a regulation with a converging target growing in your window. Traffic off your right on a converging course, he has it. You go behind, head on, both turn right, overtaking somebody, you move right and pass well clear because he can't see you. On approach, the lower airplane has it, but you never ever make yourself lower to steal it, and underneath all four of those, the one that never turns off. See and avoid right of way is not permission to stop looking. The regulation says vigilance regardless of who has the right of way. And the graveyard is full of pilots who technically had it. Learning this stuff is hard, and flying is expensive, and I know it can feel like there's an ocean of regulations between you and that certificate. But this one, 91.113, isn't bureaucracy. It's a handful of pilots a long time ago figuring out how to keep us from running into each other when we can't say a word. It's worth knowing by heart. That all comes straight out of Part 91 and the FAA's own Aeronautical Information Manual, and it's spelled out in the Collision Avoidance Guidance if you want to read the full language for yourself. You can find more from us over at radiohangar.com. Keep your eyes outside, keep your head on a swivel, and I'll see you back here in the pattern.